Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the reading from Revelation, especially these words. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades." If you were ever looking for proof of Isaiah 55:8, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways," says the Lord. Oh, I'm talking about my text, not about what happened last night. No. If you ever wanted proof, just look at how God comforts and raises up those who fall at his feet in his presence. When God comes down to earth and terrifies us, either himself in some form or the angels of God, and human beings are so afraid, it always seems to me kind of a non sequitur when they say what they say, you know, from the very first, you know. What are God's first words to Adam? "Adam, where are you?" You know, this is real comforting, especially in Adam's situation. Moses, "Put off your shoes from your feet, for the ground you're standing on is holy ground." He appears to Ezekiel, and the first thing he calls him, what does he call him? "Bain Adam," son of Adam, son of man. And a little reminder of who he is. And this is supposed to raise Ezekiel up. What does the angel tell Zacharias? "I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God." Stands in the presence of God. But to me, the greatest example of how strange God's words are in these situations are right here. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead," hos nekron, "and he laid his right hand upon me and said," not, "It's okay, John, it's only me, Jesus, remember? I last saw you on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and we talked, and I even talked about, you know, whether you would even die." You know, it's kind of interesting. Most of us talk about dying and going to heaven. John goes to heaven, and then, well, at least he doesn't die, but he's as dead here. Jesus does not say, it's okay, it's only me. Remember your friend Jesus. He says, "Do not be afraid." Now that part, that's good. I like that. That's my way, you know. Tell me not to be afraid, Jesus. And then he says, "I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever. And I have the keys of death and of Hades." This is not Jesus patting him on the shoulder and saying, "It's okay, you know, there's no big deal here. There's not much going on." That's how we try to comfort each other a lot of times. You know, what's going on is not a big deal. Our child falls, scrapes her knee. "You know, honey, it's okay, it'll be better. It'll be better soon. We'll put a Band-Aid on it." No, that's not how Jesus raises John from near death here. He says, "I am the first and the last and the living one. I'm the Pantocrator. I am the Almighty." He has just identified himself with that first voice, the voice of the Father himself. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Now that's supposed to raise John up. That's supposed to comfort him. Well, you know, when push comes to shove, that is the only comfort. If Jesus emphasizes at this point his identity with John, you know, I'm one of you, like the angel does later on, you know, I'm just one of God's creatures, don't fall down, don't worship me, then John is going to stay as dead here. That's not what Jesus does. He tells John who he really is. And he points out that death itself is not the end. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and hell. That and that alone, when it finally comes down to it, is the comfort. Not everything's going to be all right. And if you go out into your churches and sit there and hold people's hands, when you've got life and death literally in your hands, one hand just now starting to turn cold as the man leaves this existence as we know it, and the other hand on his wife as you finish that final prayer as the last breath was taken, with death and life in your hands, if you turn to the one hand that's still warm and say, it's going to be okay, everything's all right, what just happened here is no big deal, you are bringing no comfort. You are bringing no Christ. No. The living one, who was and who is and is alive forevermore, and who has already been dead and now is alive, that's the only comfort to anyone. It was pointed out last night that some of you will never preach again in a place with a pipe organ, and that could very well be true. I've certainly been in a few of those myself. Likely you will not spend your ministry in a place that's designed quite as well as this one to bring out this sense of things being way bigger. Many of you will be in small places, maybe rented places, places where the building is not going to bring this alive forevermore Christ to the forefront. It's going to be the words. Jesus' words that come out of your lips, those words that bring this Christ to your people. Words addressed from a son of Adam, one who is in fact a son of man, not like Jesus, who is as a son of man, but there's something remarkably different here, but a son of man, a sinner, who can only fall dead at the feet of Jesus, and who has been himself raised up by these words, the words of the living one, you and you alone. These words and these alone, not you and you alone, but these words from your lips and these words alone will raise up also your people from the dead. A sinner who has come face to face with the eyes like flames of fire and the face like the sun shining in all its strength. One who has come face to face with that and not backed off and said, oh, this is no big deal, but one who has faced it and found, I am dirt. I am dead. We read a story to my kids this past year, and one of the great lines in it, it's a goofy story, I can't remember the title of it, but some boys that are really more than mischievous, quite destructive, and this grandmother finds a way to scare the heck out of them with a firecracker and some blanks and a shotgun or something. And the line my kids just kept repeating, just laughing, rolling eyes, just teared up with laughter, was, I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm dead. As one of them falls on the floor, assuming that he has, in fact, been shot. Well, we are, when we face this Jesus, we are dead and now alive. Forgiven our sins, and with that message to bring to our people. And that message alone, not a building, not music, not anything of these tools that might help or might, in some of your places, kind of get in the way. You might be moaning the blues when you get there, complaining that this is not helping at all. But these words, and this one, present among us, we sing that new song to him. It is the Panto Krator. It is the living one that we sing to. Yes, Jesus is our friend, and it'll be nice to sing that too. The only comfort that's going to last is this comfort, this word. May God grant that your lips will bring that word to your people for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.